Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVonta. So for another day, hold on, I'm over here.
Where are you?
For guest insolence. Hold on.
What do you mean you're over here? Again.
Well, my mic is over here, and I was over here.
That doesn't work.
That's not the way that's supposed to go. No. No, we're having a technical, sort of a nightmare the last couple of days around here. We're just trying to get everything worked out, and there's a lot going on. We made some changes.
What do you mean we made some changes?
We made some technical changes over here.
Okay. We'll see how that works out for us.
You sit on that side of the desk. I'm on this side of the desk. Uh-huh. I'm making technical changes on my side of the desk. I move my stapler over to the other side.
That helps.
Very confusing. You know, and then the whole time you're looking for your stapler, and you're like, where is it? Oh, I moved.
Why would you need a stapler during airtime?
I don't understand. Full business operation here.
Okay. You have post-it notes over there?
I do. I got my post-it notes. I have my receipt stamp, and I also have my copy stamp. That's very important to know what is an original and what is a copy. I've got all of that.
You might need that. Yeah. But you're all hooked up and set up if you need that. So,
you think I'm kidding, but that's how I actually roll at home.
I picture that. Yeah. You're having a desk just like that with all the different size papers sort of, you know, lined up exactly in case you need the extra long paper or the medium size.
Highlighters in different colors.
Right. Every color Sharpie imaginable.
Every color. As a matter of fact, I noticed my daughter has been, they've been, we've been sharing a home for the last couple of days, she and her husband and dog and me. and so they're getting some work done in their house. It's good. So it's all, you know, it's been very communal. It's been fun.
It should be a reality show.
Oh my
totally.
God!
I tune into that.
Are you kidding?
My God. And she has this box. She's an artist, so she's working on wallpapers and things like that. And she's got this Sharpie box.
Oh, that's
kinda
cool.
Like a crate of Sharpies. I am so jealous.
I love Sharpies.
It's got to be like so expensive.
I know. Well, I said, where'd you get that? She goes, I can't tell you, Dad. It's for professionals.
$8,000 worth of Sharpies right there.
The professional only Sharpie subscription.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's like the greatest thing I've ever seen.
So they came over, they see your desk, and they were like, what are you doing over here?
Yeah, that's essentially what it is.
She wouldn't even go.
She's working out of, she's turned my kitchen into her office for the next, you know, till tomorrow, essentially, is what she's, you know, she promises. And so this is the, so it's like a, and that's fine. I like, you know, it's nice. It's kind of, it's like, a, it's, it is very 80s sitcom when I walk into the house.
They've got their puppy that you take for walks.
Yeah.
He's very slow because he's a, what, bulldog?
He's an English bulldog.
So he's just little legs and little body.
Right.
So it's sort of a slow
process.
He tries
to keep up.
And then he's like panting.
As I said in the first Vacation movie, kept up for the first quarter mile. But so that was...
They start to do that breed that's like, hey,
I know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's got that already. He's got that. He's got that sort of snorty thing that goes on. And then he looks at me and he's like, hey, come over here. I need to hump your leg.
Sounds like you have a nice relationship with a puppy so far.
I do.
What could go wrong?
He takes after his grandfather for like as a youngster, he's like, hey, come here. Hey, where's that pillow I like?
Bulldogs kind of like are a little bit like the elderly people, aren't they? They sort of have that look on their face. And they don't want to run and chase balls, really, or anything like that. They want to watch you.
Give me my pillow now.
I like to describe him as pre-disappointed. He always has that look on his face that it's like, oh, really? Oh.
That's what you're doing?
Oh, my God, really?
It's probably just with you, too.
Yeah. Got to walk up all those stairs.
Yeah, and if he thinks the pillow's up there, man, he's up there.
He will? He'll go up there for the pillow?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I've never seen a bulldog move that fast.
Yeah. Oh, well, you got to be a young bulldog that still has his,
Oh, he's still got him?
Got for the moment, yeah. I'm like, when are we getting rid of those? Because he's digging on the, you know, the world at this moment. That's all I'm going to say. Is that he's sort of liking everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So does this dog need a thunder shirt too? Or
he
just
was fine.
You? He was
I
okay?
was the one.
Was okay
I mean, when the thunder rolled through,
I was
back in my office at home doing important things,
right.
Moving my stapler around and it started to come in. It got dark, right? And there was a lot of lightning. It was ominous and everything.
Yeah, it's the type of stuff that does scare dogs. You heard the thunder. It was severe.
I wanted to get underneath the desk, but then I got underneath the desk and I found him with a pillow under there going to town. And I'm like, all right, that's all right. He's fine. He did not care. He's like, as long
that's
as,
a good sign.
Yeah.
He's looking at you while he does it.
Yeah. You're next.
Just bothers me, punk. <You're next. laughs> put a fresh pair of pants on, buddy. Put those sweatpants on. I like.
I've been saying right now, I cannot wear black sweatpants anymore around him.
Oh, that's the thing. Dogs will do that.
Yeah. Like this. Bad. What is that?
Oh God.
All right. Anyway, on the program. Demetrius Ivory is going to join us in a moment if he has the intestinal fortitude to do it. I doubt he does. But if he does, he will join us and we'll talk about the next line of storms that's moving through. Because we're trying to figure out if we're going to get in the Sox game tonight. That's an important
thing.
Yeah,
it is important.
They start another homestand here.
Mm-hmm.
Sox have been hot. They got a little, you know.
Well, they won 4-6 coming off a series win. You know. Lucas Giolito's been really good.
You need to keep the momentum up, right? Mm-hmm. If baseball is being played very well on both sides of town right now, and that's fun. So
we want baseball tonight.
Yeah, we want baseball tonight, and we'll see. And they said that they said that this line of thunderstorms is not exactly what's going to happen next, because now it's clearing up. It looks beautiful.
It
what could possibly go wrong?
Right. You would think. But the next line is more severe.
Until the next line.
And so then...
Like a doll's eyes, shark's eyes rolling back in its head. That's what these storms are like. Do you ever see a shark's eyes rolling back in its head and all you hear is a scream and the blood in the water?
That's exactly what the storm seems to me
to be.
It's
going
to be
that bad?
Yeah, like that.
Gee,
yes.
I'm kind of scared.
Kind of that. All right, we'll get to all that. But first, Kim, what's happening in the newsroom?
Mayor Pete makes a stop in Chicago today.
This plays every time I drive down the street in my car, in the Blazer.
Totally works.
It does look like it.
Uh-huh.
Demetrius hasn't seen the... you know what? Demetrius, I'm going to come pick you up, and we're going to go riding around in the black Blazer.
It's nice, huh?
Oh, it's the coolest thing ever.
The interior was what I think is so cool.
Is it the Blazer still, or is the...
No, it's called the Blazer. They redid the Blazer. It's a brand new... It's the new idea for the Blazer, and it is, because I thought the Blazer, like, you know, when I was a kid, the Blazer was, you know, it was like the patient zero of the SUV.
That was everything.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that was everything.
And the Blazer kept getting passed down, right? Mm-hmm. So I passed one down to my daughter. That was her first car.
Wait, two-door or four-door? Because
the two-door was
that's a sporty one. That's.
That was my favorite. Yeah. Now they're all four door now, but they look like they're two door. You know how that goes, and mm-hmm. it's they're angular, and they look like they're from outer space, but they also look like they're cool, and then they look like they're like Batman's going to pop out of it, not Robin, just Batman.
Oh yeah, I love that two door. Had the back seat space of a Ford Mustang, but still.
Yes, but the thing went down, so you made it into the back of the back seat went down, so it was just a big panel back there. What
are you doing?
What did he say? What did he say? I didn't hear what he said.
I'm in for people to sit. I don't know where you're going.
I was in for people to just pile in. That's what I was in for.
Okay.
You know how that goes.
Right.
I care. You know, I do a lot of construction, Demetrius. I don't know if you know that about
what?
Me. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No one knows that about you.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody knows that about me. Very handy. All right. Let's talk about these storms.
Wow. Right?
Because that first line, that was pretty crazy.
Something else. All right, so one tornado reported. That was by the LaSalle County EMA. Could have touched down near Sheridan, North 42nd Road. So potentially a tornado there. We have seen quarter-size hail in Marseilles, Plainfield, 1-inch diameter hail also. And, of course, that line of powerful storms moved through our area. This is the good news. There's nothing headed in this direction now, at this point. We have all the conditions kind of in place for more storms to develop. We're starting to get some sunshine. Dew point temperatures are creeping back up into those 60s. Our temperature outside's back into the 70s.
So it's like a chemistry experiment.
Kind of a reload here. And what I hate is that all the water, all the rain that we saw earlier today, if it hasn't already run off or went down into soil, is back into the atmosphere. So that just kind of adds more moisture to this thing.
Uh-oh.
We're going to run the risk tonight of seeing wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour.
What?
Yeah,
oh my
once
gosh.
Again.
Even if, now, Do we know that this will develop again? Is there anything that will stop it from developing again?
Well, now there's a front that's going to develop later tonight. So we certainly do think heavy downpours and flooding could be a risk late tonight. The potential for the severe thunderstorms, you know, the 50-50 chance later tonight, and that's just because if we're fine, if we're dry, and it's certainly possible that we're going to be dry through the entire evening and these storms don't redevelop until later tonight, it could just be very heavy rain.
So like overnight?
Yeah, overnight after midnight, some of our models are showing. And the models are not doing a good job today with anything that we're seeing. You know, we're in the middle of a storm of storm coverage, and the models were basically showing that it should be sunny outside. So we're kind of on our own as far as that goes, but that's okay. So so right now I can just say that, you know, the conditions are there for the development of more thunderstorms. The best chance would be to see some later tonight after the sun goes down, but right now there's nothing coming our way, nothing on the map that's headed in this direction.
Okay, but there's a risk.
There is a very good risk. As a matter of fact, there was a watch that's been allowed to, that's been dropped, actually. It was in effect for areas mainly south and southeast of Chicago until 6 p.m. That's, right now we're dry, so that one has been canceled. But I do think, you know, there's still a slight risk of seeing a stronger severe thunderstorm later tonight.
So White Sox, they're starting at 7:10 tonight, so they'll get started. And then
right now, I think they're okay. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, and I hate telling folks that, there's nothing headed our way, so go for it, you know?
Yeah.
When it does come, of course, we'll let you know. But, you know, if I had the ticket, I'd say it's probably going to happen. That game's probably going to happen tonight because the front is still not going to be here just yet. So we know the front's going to kick up more storms tonight, but that, but ahead of that front, right now it doesn't look like anything has popped up yet.
And what time are you thinking, Demetrius, based on what you know now, in terms of the time when you'll start seeing the new stuff come through?
I think probably around 10 o'clock I'd be on the lookout. 10 p.m.
And I'm going to look out.
And then certainly through tonight. Yeah, get on the mask. Do they stand on the mask or the mast or the front? I guess they stand on the front. Anyway.
You mean the bow or the stern?
Yeah.
That's what you mean?
See, I don't even go there. Right?
Very nautical.
What's the Titanic thing they stood on?
They stood on the,
Yeah.
On the bow.
Yeah.
On the bow. Yeah. Like
on the bow. The thing the front,
you know, let's, you know what, Demetrius, maybe you and I should recreate that sort of a thing.
So. That'd be pretty cool.
Right. Okay.
Although then we'd be like, you know what? We're going to get off right now. We're going to get off and let you guys finish the voyage on your own.
Exactly. This is the time, right? This is the time to get... are we making a stop between here and New York anywhere?
Let's go. Let's go.
Not at that iceberg. I mean, like another stop. I would just sleep on the lifeboats is what I would do. That's easiest way to go.
I'm afraid of taking a cruise, and if I did, I would be right by that lifeboat. You know?
I bring women's clothing. What? On every cruise.
Oh, so you can
so
get
that
into the boats first.
I put on a wig and I put on a dress and a trench coat, and I immediately.
Do they still do that, women and children first?
Sure, why not?
You know, that seems like one
just
of those.
Just in case,
you know,
Rose prepared.
That's one of those chivalrous things that, you know, all the guys who did it die, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, does it live on with our generation of women and children?
Hey,
first?
Listen, look at it this way. Those guys would have been dead already by now. So that's the way to look at it when
it
I watch those movies.
Out.
Yeah.
It all evens out.
All right. Thank you very much, Demetrius. Appreciate it.
By the way, I think probably after 10 p.m. and all the way through the rest of the overnight, be on the lookout for the heavy rain. So that is the timing of that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
All right. All right.
Demetrius Ivory in the WGN-TV newsroom. You can see him coming up at 4 o'clock on WGN-TV News. In the meantime, we have got the WGN radio news coming your way in 2 minutes. Ganja with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. That's, you know what I want to do? I every once in a while, I like to take the show and I like to check on how my money's being spent. I just like to do that.
I like that approach.
Yeah.
We all kind of want to see how our money's been spent.
Or how much money I'm going to end up owing to, let's just say, call it the state of Illinois for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of proposals going on right now. They're trying to get about 100 things through the state legislature.
Really quickly.
Before the end of the month, before the deadline. So they can get to, there's marijuana, there's sports gaming, there's a tax increase. All of these things that they're trying to get through. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that honest to God really mean for us?
Mm-hmm.
So State Senator Bill Brady, who is on the Republican side, this minority side, a minority side, obviously, in both the House and the Senate, and then the State House is J.B. Pritzker. So it's the first time in a while that that has been the case. And it, what from the Republican position here, Bill, what do you see getting through and not getting through?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me on, and good to be with you both. You know, I think the governor has had a lofty agenda. He ran in a very liberal primary, and to do so, he had to make some commitments or take a position on some issues that he's finding are pretty full. You've got the budget, obviously, which is the biggest one. Then you've got his graduated income tax constitutional amendment, the issue of sports betting, the issue of adult recreational cannabis, and other things. And now you've got a new mayor being sworn in on next Monday who believes that Chicago, I think, would be better served with an entertainment venue that would include a casino. So there's a lot on the plate that's been dealt with, not to mention an infrastructure bill that will invest in our roads and our bridges and potentially even one that would be vertical construction.
Let me ask you about the idea here that you have to have a constitutional amendment, essentially, to have a graduated income tax. How likely is this to get done quickly, if at all?
Well, it obviously hasn't been done quickly. I think it's a dangerous proposition. I mean, I have several concerns, and the biggest one is that if it were to pass, there's no protection, in my opinion, from the Democrats raising tax rates on middle-income families. And we
Even before we get there, let's step back. How does it get passed? Because it requires this constitutional amendment. How does that get done?
Well, the legislature has to put it on the ballot, and 60% of the voters have to vote to approve it.
That would be in 2020, I'm assuming.
It would be in the November election. And that's one of the other dangerous propositions, because I think every governor in the country will use the undecided issue here, the unknown issue here, against us when it comes to recruiting and retaining jobs.
So, okay, well, yeah, but that I'm just trying to figure out just the mechanics first, because it's because it would be up to the voters of the state of Illinois to ultimately make this decision, right? It's got to pass out of the House and the Senate by majority or supermajority to get to the ballot.
Supermajority.
Okay, so 66%, or is it 60 in Illinois? I never remember this.
60%
in the House and in the Senate, and then it's got to go on to a referendum, a binding referendum, on the ballot in November of 2020, and everybody has to vote, and 60% of the voters have to decide that this is a good idea.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Imagine the air war that is going to go on in advance of this.
Well, you already see ads everywhere, right? You can't turn on your television without seeing ads, you know, trying to support why we should be in favor of it.
So how likely do you think this is?
Radio and TV will be the big winners.
Yes, I know. I'm very, very excited about it.
We like that part.
What do you think? So you think it's going to get 60% across the board here? How likely do you think it is to end up on a ballot in November of 2020 to have this graduated income tax?
Well, I think it's problematic. I think the House is still having problems. It passed the Senate. I think the House has problems with the rate structure and other issues associated with the uncertainty of this. And I'm hopeful that we are able to keep it from getting on the ballot.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It seems like such an ambitious list of legislative focus or priorities for the governor. And like Roe was pointing out, there are a number of things that we were led to believe might get done by the end of May. Do you understand or want to tell us what you think would be done?
Well, I think the Democrats will be able to pass a budget. I don't know that it will have Republican support, given some of the provisions that have been discussed. Parts of this, I think, we can support. There's a desire to alter the way in which we get more federal dollars back on managed care operators. So that's an area I think we can work together on. We would like to work together on sports betting and other opportunities in gaming entertainment. for the state. I think that could get done. The infrastructure bill is something that's been worked on, and I'm hopeful it gets done. But we are running out of days to get some of these things accomplished. I think probably the biggest challenge is going to be the idea of recreational adult cannabis that seems to have lost some wind, and not only here, I guess, but I guess states like New York and New Jersey are kind of falling short on getting that passed.
So will there be some version of that, or the whole thing's dead, do you think?
Well, I'm not for it. I believe that what medical science tells me and law enforcement tells me clearly indicates to me that it will not advance the interests of our state. There are some people who believe that this is an issue that ought to be regulated and taxed. I just differ with them. I think the way it was introduced became problematic for the supporters of it as it was introduced a couple Saturdays ago. And it just, the weight of what was included in that introduction, I think, has become very problematic.
I don't think it helps that the co-sponsor of the bill has been removed as co-sponsor because she was trying to potentially profit on the side from selling hot stock marijuana seminars. I mean, it's not a good start for legislation like this to feel like you have the support of the public in terms of what we're trying to do here.
Good government in Illinois.
I mean,
I think we've seen a few examples of that over the years. I don't know. The jails, actually, federal prisons are filled with Illinois politicians who thought twice about
this. Is this how we're going to start it out?
What's the joke we heard before? You know, the food was better when you were governor.
You think this is kind of dead on arrival now, Bill?
Nothing's dead in Springfield. I mean, there is widespread support. I just think the bill that was introduced got far too ambitious for those, even the supporters. So I think it's very problematic. And the fact that last week the Department of Revenue found receipts in excess of $1.4 billion over and above last year took some of the financial pressure off the issue.
How did that happen?
Yeah, explain that one, because I keep hearing that reported, but there never is the how it happened part.
Well, I believe that what we saw here is when the federal government changed the tax laws and limited your state and local tax deductions, what happened was people were unable to reduce their gross income, and therefore they were having to pay income taxes on a higher amount. And it was mostly an anomaly that people didn't factor in until tax filing day, which was April.
Will that stay like that, or will people now try to work around it?
Yeah, COGFA, which is our forecasting arm, came out with a study that says much of it will be built in. So they increased next year's revenues by, I think, over $700 million.
Oh,
and believe it will be a permanent
like that.
Source.
You know, I'm not a big believer, Senator, in projections. You know, because I work in the media and advertising business, so I know what projections actually mean.
Well,
but it wipes out the shortfall for now. I mean, I guess that's helpful.
So we have to do something, and I think it's probably fairly realistic. Now, the real solution to Illinois' problems is for us to grow this economy and have more receipts by having more jobs. So that's where we differ with the Democrats. You know, they want to raise tax rates. We want to reduce the tax burden, create a more vibrant economy, and have natural revenue growth by giving people an opportunity to go back to work.
All right, let me ask you about sports betting for a moment, because that's the other thing. This show has two major interests, Senator, and you and I have known each other a long time.
Even just the two of you. Yes. Those are your two major interests.
I'm talking kind of me and Kev and Anna and Lauren.
We
talk about it a lot. It comes up a lot. And we got some guys, you know, especially in football season, you know, we get kind of interested. You know, you're a guy's guy, Senator. You understand how this goes. I just want to know. Do you think we're going to get sports gambling in Illinois?
I do.
You do?
I do. Gaming has become an entertainment, an industry, a revenue generator, a job creator. I think we've got a good shot and should look reasonably at trying to keep some of the gaming revenues that we're losing to other states in Illinois and our threat of losing to Wisconsin and others. So
yeah.
I believe this is an entertainment value and a revenue producer, and I said an industry in and of itself. So we're trying to work through reasonable measures which will maximize the benefit to Illinois taxpayers and provide that opportunity to Illinois citizens.
More likely that goes, would you say, than marijuana?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just trying to get an idea. I mean, not trying to hold your feet to any fire here.
You have me on the show in June to see if my predictions.
Yes.
Yeah.
On.
I don't know. I'm trying to get back all of this audio where they are now. I don't want because I know you don't want to take a position necessarily because you're negotiating with your own people here. I get it. But at the same time, we're just trying to sort of read the tea leaves here out of Springfield and see what's got momentum and what doesn't have momentum. And quite honestly, the most important thing right now, since we're all going to get stoned on CBD oil, which we're buying at a video store, which doesn't have THC in it anyway, and it's sold over the counter, and Kevin went and bought it, and I don't know what this is all about, and pray for us, Senator. But
I will.
But so the marijuana thing is, you know, there's a little steam out of that, but the gambling thing, I mean, you know, we're heading, right now, as I'm looking at my watch, I'm 3 months away from the beginning of the football season. So
you're getting antsy.
Yeah, so I know. I know what's going to happen.
I predict you're no longer going to have to go offshore, and you'll be able to do it with an Illinois venue.
Offshore? I just don't want that guy showing up at my house anymore. That's my thing.
He's not a guy.
Senator, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great to be with you both. Thanks.
Thank you. Senator Bill Brady. He's the minority leader down there in the Senate.
Well, that's interesting about the marijuana legislation struggling a little more than we thought.
Kev, yesterday... Mm-hmm. Went and bought CBD gummies. Well, we'll tell the story coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Stay tuned for this.
Found a very unusual spot for them.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware they sold them there.
So we're having thoughts. We're just not quite sure what to do with our thoughts. So we'll let you know in just a few minutes about what we're going to do to this. But he brought them in and we're all looking at him. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And remember when he said they're suspect looking? He's right.
Like, is the packaging open?
I don't know.
The writing on it is in marker.
Yeah.
Misspelled.
Yeah, it's right. I don't know.
Made in China.
I don't know how. Yeah.
Looks legit to me.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Why not? Let's eat them.
All right, we'll find out. Don't anybody move. Sorry, CLTV, you can't be part of this. It's like a FCC violation of some sort, I'm sure. All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour in the 4 o'clock news?
President Trump has unveiled his plan to overhaul the country's immigration system.
Coming up, stories that matter. Kim Gordon in the WGN Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then we will have a legal analysis of what's about to happen in the Supreme Court as it pertains to this Alabama legislation that just went through. And a bunch of other states just passed some abortion laws as well. I tend not to want to discuss that on this program. It's one of my least favorite subjects of all times. But there could be a sea change coming in America.
No question.
So we are going to at least give you the legal analysis of what all of this means. And then on the other side of that, the fun begins. As we talk about Kevin's Ferris Bueller's day off yesterday.
I can't wait.
And what he did with it and how it ended up at a video/CBD store in the northwest suburbs.
Turns out that exists.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah. I learned a lot of things that are things that I didn't think were things until Kevin told me that they were things. From Concho with Anna DeBlantis. On 720 WGN.
So we got Kevin back. That's good.
Yep. We'll explain. Kevin will explain where he was and what he was doing yesterday. And Mike Monaco is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And a little bit later on, Mike, I just want you to listen. I don't want you to actually be on the air. And I want you to text me if it's legal or illegal what Kevin did yesterday.
Oh, okay.
So just that way we don't hold you to anything, but we do know what the legal consequences are going to be of Kevin's actions.
Wouldn't it be better to run it by Mike beforehand?
No, don't be silly.
No, let's not do that.
Don't be silly.
As a matter of fact, exactly not what he wants. It's the 180 degrees from what is a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. All right. So on a very serious note, and you know, this is abortion is a very, you know, it's a highly polarizing debate in America. It always has been. There are ethical, religious concerns. There's all kinds of humanistic concerns, economic concerns. All this, everything kind of comes together in this one issue. And America has debated this, you know, for the better part of the last 75 years. And now comes the issue of the states with a new Supreme Court, with a conservative majority on the Supreme Court, and majority plus, if you will, because you have sort of an extra vote in there too. There are questions about whether this was the right time for anti-abortion forces to start to write legislation,
right,
to get it passed in conservative states with Republican legislatures, Republican governors, like Alabama did yesterday. And
yeah,
Alabama essentially wrote a law. The legislators wrote a law that is the most restrictive. It is against the law in the state of Alabama to have an abortion, to perform an abortion. Even if you go and you have an abortion in another state, there is an issue. There's only one codicil, and that is for the life of the mother. Right?
Doctors could be sentenced to 99 years in jail under the law.
Right.
So you essentially limit
for committing,
access.
Performing an abortion.
Right.
Yeah, and they don't even allow abortion in case of rape or incest in the Alabama law.
Right. Right. That piece of it failed to pass, which I think surprised a lot of people, but you're now seeing other states in the process of trying to pass similar bills.
Well, you know, you hadn't seen a bill for a while, as Rose said, with the Supreme Court, but this is a difference that elections make. You know, people say, well, why should I vote? I don't need to vote. This is exactly why people need to vote, because President Trump has put has appointed two justices on the United States Supreme Court, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh, whom he believes are very conservative, and apparently so do states like Ohio and Alabama, Missouri, they all passed these very conservative laws that are prohibiting abortions in their states. Now, some of them have these laws that when the baby has a heartbeat, of course, that could be within 6 weeks. That's before most women even know they're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a very, very difficult law. And so what's going to happen is that the ACLU and the Planned Parenthood have said that they're going to file probably temporary restraining orders or preliminary injunctions in Birmingham, I assume, in a federal court in Birmingham against these laws, saying that the laws are unconstitutional. Then the judge will rule in Birmingham whether the state law for the state of Alabama must be either delayed or is going to strike it down altogether. And then the Fifth Circuit, Alabama's in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, they'll have to rule. That judge is in New Orleans. And then, depending on how that judge rules, those three judges rule in the circuit court, it'll go to the Supreme Court of the United States.
So when it goes before the Supreme Court, there are a lot of people who've been saying for years, well, you know, Roe versus Wade has been upheld in a lot of different ways. Because Roe versus Wade isn't really about abortion, it's about privacy, right? Isn't that the centerpiece of it?
Yeah, exactly right.
And so the idea of abortion as a piece of law itself, the act of the doctor or the medical professional to do it, is really what is going to be debated by the Supreme Court here. And whether the child, you know, the fetus in this case, has rights.
Rights, yes. That's exactly right.
So that's where it's going to be held. So so it's not about taking on Roe versus Wade. It's about attacking the whole notion of this from another angle, from
the angle
of the rights of the fetus.
Yes, but I mean there was the penumbra of the Constitution that not only does the Constitution say that certain rights are protected, but surrounding those rights, for example, the privacy right, is in play, and that's what prompted Roe v. Wade. But here they're going right at the idea that
that the states can force people not to have abortions, force women not to have abortions, and punish doctors who perform them. Now, I don't think that there is a punishment for the woman who has an abortion in Alabama.
No, that's
not proposed. It's a horrific law. Even Pat Robertson apparently is saying that the law is going too far.
But you also see throughout history that when they've done this at the turn of the century, that they restricted doctors and they held them up and as being devils for doing this, performing this kind of thing, that the women just eventually just still wanted to get an abortion. They'd either do it themselves or they'd go in the shadows or to someone claiming to know how to do this. It doesn't eliminate abortion. It just eliminates access, particularly for poorer women, because women who have more means get on a plane.
Because wealthy women have always been able to find doctors to perform abortions, but poor women are not. And as you say, they choose other ways of having them performed, and it's often very, very dangerous for them.
I found it interesting that the Alabama governor, a woman, Kay Ivey, said that she found that even though she agrees with all the legislation, of course, that's why she signed it, she thinks this may be unenforceable and that it truly does need the Supreme Court's stamp in order, but that's what she wants. She's asking.
Yeah, they are definitely, they chose to have a law that would be
immediately challenged,
and so that way it's more quickly will go to the Supreme Court.
So what do you think the timing on that is?
Well, the judge will have probably 60 days, 120 days, I suppose, before the briefs are filed, and the judge could sit on it for a while and make a decision. I assume he'll have
do you
to
think
make
it'll
a decision
be in this?
6 months.
Do you think, the district judge will have to make a decision? So, but then you're talking about a district, and then you got to go
then
to
it goes
a
to the,
circuit.
The Circuit Court of Appeals, and that'll take maybe 6 months or a year.
All right. And then so before it gets to the Supreme Court, you're a couple years away, is what you're saying.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And they don't have to take the case, right? They don't. This may not be the abortion.
Oh, they will take the case.
You think they will?
Yes, I believe they will.
Okay, so now at that point, if they find that this is constitutional and, then therefore, as a matter of law, that the fetus does have rights, does that then make abortion illegal across the United States of America?
No. Just in the state of Alabama or those states that pass these laws. Now, there other states are passing laws protecting abortion.
Right? But wouldn't those laws then be challenged by conservative groups saying that the Supreme Court has found that the fetus has rights and therefore this is unconstitutional?
Well, that's true. That's exactly true. There will be those fights on that side of it. That's true. You could see that happening, but there would have to be another Supreme Court rule in that effect, I suppose.
Well, it's interesting because what this is going to do is it's creating the real debate is about the real legal debate is about to actually occur here, mm-hmm. which it had not been doing. And because this has all been sort of an argument around Roe versus Wade, and people go, well, that's a bad piece of law. But people who argue it's a bad piece of law are arguing that it's not a direct piece of law. It is not, it was never really, wasn't about abortion per se. It was about the rights of the mother.
Right.
And so that's what protected the rights of those who were choosing to have an abortion to be able to do. Now, the problem that we are going to have here, though, is that this is going to be fought. If this is upheld, if the Alabama law is upheld, it will theoretically the point of law would be that the fetus has rights. Now, that changes a lot of things, not just abortion. That changes many, many, many other issues here.
If that's the ruling of the court, that's true. Yeah. That's exactly right.
And then they'll go after the other states that have it. So this whole idea of, well, it's a states' rights case. I think that the people on both sides of this argument, the lawyers on both sides of this argument, and the activists on both sides always knew that they wanted all or nothing here, both on the pro-choice and pro-life side. So that's what you're finding yourself in, and we're heading down the road toward it. That's for sure.
Yeah, certainly there is, and I think it, you're exactly right. And I also would recommend that you write a book very complimentary of President Trump.
That helps down the road.
That's what Conrad Black did.
Oh, talk about that for a second. I think those of us in Chicago are just stunned.
President Trump, and then guess what? He was given a complete pardon. He was convicted here in Chicago of defrauding the companies that he ran.
The newspaper chain, including the Sun-Times.
Including the Sun-Times, exactly.
And many suburban and downstate newspapers all over the Midwest.
And he had a complete pardon. I hadn't seen that coming. So I recommend, Ro, that you write a book.
I will.
Very complimentary of the president.
It was more of a pamphlet than it was a book. Did you see that? It was like a self-published pamphlet that he wrote. But it was enough. And he also got Elton John and
Rush Limbaugh
to write letters.
Henry Kissinger, William F. Buckley, all of them wrote letters about his exceptional character.
And golf game. And I just want to say that if there's a gentleman who would be a good member of Mar-a-Lago to pay the $250,000, it would be Conrad Black.
Is good, yeah,
as
exactly.
long as you fully pardon him. Now, he was already out of the clink and everything, right?
He got a 6.5-year sentence by Judge Amy Saney here in Chicago, and then that sentence was reduced. And I think to a couple of years, but he was clearly out by now.
Yeah,
because he had to be out to write the book.
Right. Well, but he was donning an orange jumpsuit for a while. So
yes, he was.
He did have that. But now, as long as you write something nice, you're good to go.
Well, in his trial, they showed him removing documents from his office. It was on videotape. He was removing the documents and destroying 11 boxes of documents.
Oh gosh!
It's like,
strong character.
Those are my old stuff. That's the old stuff. That had nothing to do with the case.
See, I like this. I got to tell you something about America today.
Yeah,
like I'm so happy. Like this is great. They're going to put you out of business because there are no crimes anymore. There are no white collar crimes. If you want to commit a white collar crime, the biggest crime is trying to come into this country as a Mexican. That's A number one.
Abortion, apparently.
Right.
Number two.
And abortion, right. Those are the two biggest crimes.
Yes. And then after that, everything else is okay. And the thing is, speaking of the immigration thing, he was up there today talking about the immigration laws. I think it's going to be kind of fun. He wants it to be merit based. Right? So you have to be a nuclear physicist, banker, scientist, or European supermodel. These are the most important
things. That's on the list.
Parents, was that merit-based?
Well, they're, but that's chain migration.
Well, that's part of it. They want to reduce that from 67% to 33%.
Well, now that they got those people in, they could do that.
Now that
the Canals family's in, we're good to go.
That's right.
Did you get them all?
Oh God!
Well, there's a brother-in-law they don't want, so they stopped it right then and there. Sorry, Charlie, you can't come in. All right.
Don't worry, it's all fine.
It's all good, Mike.
Thank God you two are there to straighten these things out.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
bye.
Michael Monaco, Mike. Right there. Our legal analyst. Okay. I'm going to text Michael Kevin's whereabouts and activities of yesterday and ask him if it's legal, and then we'll decide whether we can talk about it coming up after the news at the bottom of the hour with Kim Gordon. What's coming up?
Row, three people have now been charged in the death of a young West Englewood mother.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Was it legal what Kevin did yesterday? We're going to find out. And then we might also find out what happens if you do what Kevin did yesterday. All of that coming your way. I know it's cryptic, but it has to be. Because there are probably law enforcement listening.
I'm glad he's back and he seems to be okay.
Kim Gordon's got the WGN News coming your way in too. Kevin Powell yesterday was off. Now, I know you were involved in some sort of charity event.
A very strenuous day on the golf course representing the show.
Right.
It was only 75 degrees.
Was there money being raised for something important?
No, not really.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're supposed to say yes.
Okay,
that is
sure.
the
correct
wrong
answer.
We are raising awareness for playing the
game
of golf.
As Lauren would say.
Sorry, got that wrong.
I knew you had a pink tint for some reason.
Tavern tan.
Tavern tan. It was beautiful out there.
What an act of self-sacrifice.
I know. I may have fallen in love with the beverage cart girl on the third hole. Swept me off my feet.
That's a very standard thing that happens. You look into their mirrored Ray-Bans and you fall in love with the image of yourself.
Guys, did you see the way she handed me that Miller Lite? She definitely likes me.
Totally into you.
The one that got away.
I can only imagine how difficult it is to be a cart girl.
Well, it was respectful.
And, on
I just
golf
fell in
courses.
Love with
you. Oh. Just imagine the kinds of things.
I can't.
Just in a round that gets said.
Yeah, but they make a lot of cheddar too.
I don't know. I know. I mean, people line up to do it. I get it. But still, you know, it just can't
Are they usually
imagine.
Related to like a golf club member?
Sometimes.
It's a tough job to get.
Oh, yeah, because it? it's
a lot of dough. It's a lot of dough.
Well, it's a cash dough.
And you get
situation.
To drive around a cart all day. That's fun.
Right.
Exactly. See?
You walk up and then you chat up the foursome.
Right.
And all the guys, and then they all kind of look at each other side-eyed. Like, hey.
Dude, I think she likes me.
Yeah.
Dude.
Look at her. Oh, look at her. Oh, man. And then somebody. But the problem
so
is.
So 2018.
Later in the day, you know, you got guys who are, you know, getting pretty drunk, especially on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And then I would imagine that last tour around, you know, they go around the course backwards. Right? Because they got to run into the golfers coming
at them. They wouldn't stop at 18 or 17 or 16 even.
Well, they start with that first, and then by the time they get to 10, they're
But
they're
by the time
way.
The golfers, it's 18 or 17.
Oh, yeah.
You're
feeling a
you get
toasty.
A different type of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the issue. You don't really want to be on the back nine at the, you know, as the sun's going down with those guys. You know what you need to do? I know what you need to do. You need to come with us.
Take a seat. We're playing an emergency nine.
God.
How many more beers you got in there?
I'll buy the whole cart from you.
Is it just alcohol that is served in these
situations?
It's like a moving bar.
Like, can you get like a Snicker bar and stuff like that?
I think it's the peanut butter crackers. That's kind of the, you know.
Some of them are more loaded up than others. Some of them have like a full-blown Bloody Mary bar built into the thing.
What?
Yeah. They're great.
Crazy.
Yeah, so anyway, I fell in love with her.
Mm-hmm.
About the third hole, I think we ran into her again on the 10th, and then 17th, fell in love at each tee box.
Hi, I would like a Miller Lite, please.
It's a little toasty out here. Do you have any Miller Lights?
I'll do two. Here, save the dollar. That's for you.
Miller Lite spelled different because it's brewed different. I don't know if you knew that.
Well, what's your name?
The guy I was playing with knew her pretty well, so I got the scouting.
Oh.
I got the whole scouting report.
You got some detail. Oh, that's pretty good. Next thing you know, it's like, maybe I'll give you a call or something.
she's out of my league by a million miles, but, you know, kid can dream.
Okay.
We have 224. I was a cart girl at White Pines Golf Course for 3 years, and I loved it.
There you go, White Pines.
And here's another one that provides hope for you, Kevin. 847, my stepdaughter met her husband when she was a cart girl.
Wow. Now I'm really getting my hopes up.
This dreams is my new favorite, do come true.
My new favorite golf course.
That is the worst piece of information ever.
I know.
Because that's just going to encourage the behavior.
Yeah, that's too encouraging.
It's my new favorite golf course. I'm going to live there this summer. I'm already an unofficial member, and they don't even have memberships there. I'm an honorary member.
Oh, my God.
Kevin's here again for the second time this week.
You're not playing with anyone? You're just coming by?
They're just here to hang out, you know, check up on everybody.
I want to be a single out there and just follow the cart girl. I'm going the wrong way on the golf course, but I'm going to follow her.
Oh, man,
it's right. That's
sounds like a good day.
Yeah. See how sad that is?
What's sad about it? I mean, she was
pathetic, actually. Sad isn't the right word.
I'm just telling you that she was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's how my day started. A very difficult day on the golf course.
Are there any other details about your day other than that one?
Well, not really. That was the number one. Yeah.
So then, I don't know what happened to Kev, but we sort of late in the show yesterday, Kev started texting us. In our group text about, you know, where he was and what was going on. And the next thing you know, and then I think there might have been a reference to the cart girl. Although there's no better way to try to get a date with her than doing this on the radio. I want to tell you that.
Yeah, I work on the radio. No big deal.
We should drop that.
We were talking about how beautiful you were on the radio. Yeah. No big deal. Oh, God. Excuse me.
You're choking.
I literally choked on my own thought there. Anyway, So then we start getting these texts from Kevin about where he is. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he's taking pictures of his video / CBD oil store mm-hmm. near his home.
Mm-hmm. Which, so it's a working video store? It really still rents videos?
Yeah.
Okay, and then it sells more CBDs and videos, or it sells more videos and CBDs?
I mean, I'm pretty sure they're moving a whole lot of product out of this video store. Apparently, most of these...
CBD product.
The CBD product, right. They've had two DVD rentals in the past 5 years, but they move a lot of CBD product.
I want to stop it. I want to just investigate this for a moment. Yeah. Special Ro Contra with Anna DeBlanche's mm-hmm. investigation into the video industry.
We're good at these.
Yeah. What kind of videos are in this store?
I mean, everything. It's like DVDs and Blu-rays and all
Turner
that.
Turner and Hooch? I mean, what?
No, they have all the new. It's like, it's new? Imagine a video rental store from 20 years ago. Like, it's just like that. But with the same movies, they roll them all out. They'll have signs that say, like, you know, the comic book movie's out or whatever. But now they have signs for the CBD. Like, CBD and DVDs equals good times or something like that.
So you can get,
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I guess it's for people who haven't gone to the DVR revolution or the, you know, they don't have the...
Yeah, I guess some screen. People, I mean, I used to, you know, it used to be fun to go into a video store, right? Scout yeah. through.
But it seems like all of them have closed. I don't see that. There's
yeah, well,
not the city
CBD's
anymore.
Helping them stay open.
Right.
I mean, that's what they said. They're like, yeah, this is just basically a way for us to make money on the CBD, extra cash flow.
Yeah, because, I mean, I just wonder if anybody's still renting, you know, the videos.
Right.
If they are, you know, is there clearly there's not enough money.
I mean, this video store has been around at that location for a long time. So it's not like it opened just to sell CBD and DVDs.
Yeah.
It's been there.
Is there a beaded curtain anywhere in the
no it's
the
very store? Like, you know, they're a little more professional. They have, like, you know, cases with the oils, and they have, like, you know, proper shelving on the counters with all this, like, fancy CBD stuff. So then go ahead.
Do they have fun names and things to the
some of them do, like the one I purchased for the show is Platinum CBD Plus. So the stuff I got, because remember on what was Tuesday when you sent me out on the little adventure to find the CBD for us, Ro.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to CVS, they had it, but it was very, like, you looked like it was something you were buying at a spa. It was very professional looking, had that sort of look. So across,
yeah, it was a CVS, and it was a spray, and we couldn't spray it in our mouth. We were very disappointed about this. Let me just explain what happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What had happened was the White Sox were on, and so we were on the stream,
mm-hmm.
and we now refer to that as radio detention, where it's the five of us literally in a room without any supervision, but we have to stay in the room. And so
it's like the Breakfast Club,
right? It's like the Breakfast Club. And then any conversation about anything breaks out. And then somehow the CBD thing sort of broke out. And then we decided to send Kevin. We had him escape mm-hmm. from the radio detention room and go out on the street with his phone and try to find a CBD oil and to see what's all the buzz about.
Right.
I mean, literally, what is the buzz about? Mm-hmm. So we tried this spray stuff you get at CVS. That's a nothing, right? I mean, that's
right.
Although I did spray and I got dizzy for about an hour and a half. I put it on my wrists. I don't have any problems with my wrists, but I decided to have a, you know, figure. You
well,
know,
we figured we would do the inside of our wrists because it would get into our system faster. That's what we thought was the good
makes
idea.
Makes total
there.
Sense.
It does, kind of.
Sure. Sure, why not? So now, but now we got the real stuff.
Right. So, so for the video store across the street from the video store, sort of kind of a shady looking liquor store that I may go into from time to time to purchase
mm-hmm. other things,
beverages.
Mm-hmm. Swisher Sweets.
Swisher Sweets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
But I've noticed that on the counter, they have, like, packaged CBD. Like, this is what I wanted. This is the stuff. So I went across the street to this liquor store to get this. Sour gummy worms, because, Ro, you had mentioned you like
the
sour gummies.
Gummy worms, yeah.
And they have them on the counter, and it's sort of this is the opposite of the spa-looking fancy spray bottle. This mm-hmm. looks like the guy packaged it in his basement and sold it out of the back of his truck, which is what we were looking for in the first place.
Yeah.
So this is Sour Gummy Worms Platinum X CBD Plus. It does say made in the USA, which I thought was...
It doesn't necessarily mean it is.
No, well, but yeah, I like that, you know, the patriotism aspect of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
99% CBD, 500 milligrams, 20 gummies.
Uh-oh.
Did you have one yet, or we haven't?
I haven't even broken the seal. It says, do not use if seal is broken or open. Not for use by women who are pregnant. Anybody pregnant on the show?
Mm-mm.
Not that I'm aware of right now.
Yeah, don't
I don't
use
think
it if
I
you're
am.
Planning a pregnancy or anybody planning on getting
I feel
pregnant.
Like, I feel like I'm carrying some water weight, though.
Me too. keep out of reach of children or pets. So don't bring this home to your puppy, Ro.
How do you... yeah, oh my God. Well, he won't eat it. It just hump it. So that's... okay. That's what we know. And you don't want to say... Oh, God. I just had a thought. I just had a vision in my head of what that would look like.
Don't share it.
Yeah. All right. So what now... What are we to anticipate from this, though?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're going to get... You don't get high. There's no THC.
Yeah, so but what does it do,
really
then?
Get really relaxed.
Everyone just, you get a sense of calmness.
Well, calmness, and then I've heard people with muscle pains say they do find relief from it, and people with pain also find relief from putting the oil under their tongue, and that it really works for some people.
What if you eat a whole bag of these gummies?
Yeah, see, here's the problem. Here's my thought. Does it tell you, like, there's any risk associated with this at all?
Not really, no. I mean, it's just... I mean,
it just says, we have
go
at it.
Go for it. Well, is it technically
says Godspeed on the back. I don't know. We don't have to get into technicalities
well,
of it, Lauren.
It's interesting because it's now you see it in food establishments, right? So Kuma's Corner in the West Loop, you can add CBD
oil.
Well,
it's CBD water.
You can put in water. You put it... Protein Bar has... You can add CBD oil. You've got cocktails being served with it. Sometimes it's optional. Sometimes it's just part of it. There's ice cream. There's, you know, there's all kinds of baked goods. I mean, it's kind of making its way everywhere.
Wow, 130 calories per serving.
How is it going to affect my Modelo and Goose Island
experience?
Drinking this tonight?
I think you'll be fine. You'll just be very calm.
I feel like I'm going to fall asleep, so it doesn't like upset the stomach, I guess.
All right, we're gonna rethink ourselves here for a second. We got a lot to do tonight. I want. Oh. You know, we have to meet people. There's like, you know, business to be conducted. Hey, how you doing? Hey, Jose Abreu. If I meet him on the field, that's going to be a problem. I think for everybody, right?
Rose is casually in the middle of a game on the batter's deck. Hey, how you doing?
Hey, hell.
You ever tried CBD, man?
Oh, Tim Anderson. Can I stand here with you? It'd be so cool. All right, stand by. Hold on. Let's find out from Kim what's going on at the top of the hour.
Ro, a mother and daughter charged with murder in the death of 19-year-old Marlene Ochoa Lopez.
Kim Gordon's in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Awaiting instructions. I'm awaiting instructions from the legal team here as to what to do.
About whether or not you can take the CBD gummies?
We're just going to have to see what the CBD does here. I don't know. We got important stuff. I do. We have like executives and stuff to talk to tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
Scarfing down nachos.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry. I like to have half of a polar sausage down my shirt. Ah! Hey, oh, good. I can eat that now, too. All right. Don't anybody move. We'll be making decisions. And a top 5 of 5 will roll. That's
nice.
The most important thing. The first Kim's News in 2. Is it Ro Contra with Anna DeVlantis? I think it is.
It is.
Is it on 720 WGN?
It is. And it's that special time of day, Ro. Time of day we all look forward to each and every weekday at this time.
I wonder what that would be.
It's the top 5 on the Ro Contra Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Ro Contra Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
I'm a New Yorker. I've known Trump's a bully for a long time. This is not news to me or anyone else here. And I know how to take him on.
There's no second chance.
Don't back down in the face of a bully. Confront him. Take him on. I'm Bill de Blasio, and I'm running for president because it's time we put working people first.
Mm-hmm. Then there were 23.
23. That's incredible.
Democratic candidates now for president of the United States. Now, I get that there's a lot of energy on the other side. Republicans, I think there's a lot of Republicans who are, you know, like they got a very, very unique president. And some of them love the idea of the unique president. And then there's a few others who feel a little like they got appendicitis. Like, I don't know quite.
Like the party's been hijacked a little bit.
Yeah. How do I feel about this? I'm not quite sure how I feel about it. But well, you know, we got the tax cut. Oh, we're getting judges. Oh, we're getting judges. And then the Alabama thing happens. Like, well, I didn't expect that to happen. I mean, there are a lot of sort of centrist Republicans who are like, I don't know. And they have no place left in their party. But that's what we'll get to that in just a few minutes. But that's sort of where it is. Now, on the left, it is like a cavalry charge. Everybody who's ever been, and anybody who's even voted Democratic is trying to run for president. This is not going to work, my friends. See, what happens is you end up with crazy town. That's what happened with the Republicans last time.
Totally. Because how do you get any sort of attention to your agenda, who you are, when you have this many people? It makes people want to act out and be a little crazy. Like you saw the Beto O'Rourke doing the haircut thing. He's got the video out of him getting a haircut today. I don't know that we need to see that. I don't know how that helps us know that he's a qualified guy for president.
It doesn't. It doesn't create... Getting a haircut does not qualify you for anything.
It didn't help
me. It really doesn't. I don't understand why the... and I get, you know, you got this Tom Perez who's running the Democratic Party. The more the merrier. They all have to say that. They have to say it. Turns out the most recent poll, Biden has an 18-point lead over the goof from Vermont.
Bernie Sanders is the one you're referring to. Mm-hmm.
But the problem you have, though, is you never know. If somebody catches fire and it gets split 24 different ways. So what does that mean? That means if there's 24 people at the end of this or 25, that means somebody with 5% can win. If it gets split evenly.
It's got to shake out at some point. Well, you just wonder how dirty it's going to get and how nasty it's going to get in order to differentiate. That's the part that do you emerge kind of hurt in the process.
One thing is for sure. Bill de Blasio does not like Donald Trump.
No, and I think vice versa.
Here you are.
Okay.
Trump Tower is an example of a big building owned by a rich guy that is causing a lot of pollution, a lot of emissions. We're saying in New York City we have the toughest law in the world, saying we're going to hold landlords accountable for the emissions from their buildings because we must deal with global warming now. I believe in the Green New Deal, and we're making it happen right here in New York City.
What the is he talking about? That's his problem with Donald Trump? Is the building has a bad emission standard? That's the problem? Oh my God.
Right. People were shouting liar, liar through the door, through the windows at GMA because it's filmed in New York and he is the mayor of New York and they were not happy that he's running for president. They're like, fix the subway.
Yeah.
So and so.
Yeah.
There's some signs up there that I can't repeat, but they were very unhappy about what he's doing there.
Well, I'm sure that's, you know, those are undoubtedly political operatives because anybody who knew
they took a poll though. 76% of New Yorkers say he absolutely should not run for president.
Right.
There are too many issues here. We're not on board with this whole thing. We're not supporting you in your hometown the day you announced. That's not a great sign.
Yeah. Right. He should go. He should go back to his day job. Although I think a lot of New Yorkers don't want him to go back to his day job either. So I don't exactly know what to do with that. You know, Rahm would make the perfect 25th right now, wouldn't he?
Well, maybe he'll still get in.
All right, checking in at
number four.
The president today unveiled his new plan to reform immigration. It's going to be a points-based program where he's going to let people in, not just because he doesn't want a bunch of poor people running around here and, you know, making the place smell funny. He doesn't want any of that.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't want any of that. He wants skilled labor, and it's just about time as far as he's concerned.
Like Canada and so many other modern countries, we create an easy-to-navigate points-based selection system. You will get more points for being a younger worker, meaning you will contribute more to our social safety net. you will get more points for having a valuable skill, an offer of employment, an advanced education, or a plan to create jobs.
You have to submit a plan. How am I going to create a job? Let me think. Hold on. I got a plan. Oh, man. Did the
supermodels get special treatment?
Yeah, I'm just wondering now, did Melania's parents do any of that? What did they do?
He went to crack
promote
down.
Integration, assimilation, and national unity, future immigrants will be required to learn English and to pass a civics exam prior to admission.
Someone get the chisel. We need to change the Statue of Liberty.
Immigrants, go home. Country's full.
Unless you are very beautiful European women or super smart. I don't know how long that sentence would be.
I want to say there's a lot of hot Asian women, too. Just ask Bob Kraft. He'll tell you. We'll take it from there, too. Maybe even South America, but deep South America, where they look like white people. Is there more? Oh, my God, there's more.
The White House plan makes no change to the number of green cards allocated each year. But instead of admitting people through random chance, we will establish simple, universal criteria for admission to the United States. No matter where in the world you are born, no matter who your relatives are, if you want to become an American citizen, it will be clear exactly what standard we ask you to achieve. It will be made crystal clear.
How come that sounds menacing when he says it like that?
Crystal clear.
It will be crystal clear. Like the crystal we're going to shove up your nose if you don't answer the questions properly. And when I say no's, I don't mean no's. All right.
So this immigration plan is just a dead on arrival thing, right? I mean, no one's, it's not going to pass, and Democrats aren't going to come to the table to say, hey, we're on board with this. There's no way. It's sort of a tool.
He even said it. Don't say tool. He even said that this is really about, if they don't come to the table, then obviously, you know, we'll get this passed when we win back the House next year.
Right.
That's his whole thing. This is all a campaign thing. That's all he's doing, setting it up. And that Democrats don't want skilled labor in America. They want, they want poor people that they can turn into their voters. They can cheat and vote and do all that sort of stuff. That's been the argument of Rush Limbaugh for, you know, 25 years, essentially. And a lot of people on the right. So he's just picking up on that. That's really ultimately what's happening here. But it's just going to tell you. I just think it is really funny that his in-laws just made citizens. Through a chain migration thing, which he wants to get rid of.
Where he wants to half it. I mean, knock it in half at least. I mean, really, really drastically reduce how many people come through that way.
And what is when? And you need to have a skill. You'd be younger. Well, Melania was younger when she got here.
So she'd pass on that.
Mm-hmm. She has.
Speak English.
She has a skill.
I think she might have. Mm-hmm. She speaks six languages or something.
Right.
So she might have. That would have been okay.
She, again, he based it on what could get her into the country. She passed all of those things. Anything less than that, forget about it. Not interested. Get out. I wonder how the farmers feel about that. Who are already getting squeezed.
How they feel about the
immigration labor? Because farmers need hardworking folks that are, you know, stoop laborers, people willing to work with their hands. And
you don't see a lot of native-born people applying for those jobs or showing up and doing those jobs.
No, but you do see people from around the world wanting a shot at being in America taking those jobs. So, and people go, well, that's unfair. That's terrible what we're doing to those people. All right, well, then pay $45 for a grape. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. I don't like grapes that much. All right, we'll get to your 3-2-1, but first, Kim, what's happening at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump unveils a merit-based immigration plan.
Is Amazon spying on your kids? Why parents are concerned that smart speakers could violate a child's privacy. It's tonight's cover story on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock. Ro, are you there?
Top 5 continues. Here we are. Here we go. Couldn't figure out why I couldn't hear myself. Tell you why. Because the button wasn't pushed. That's why.
Oh.
Who's responsible for that?
You.
Oh, that's right. Top five continues.
Number three. Someone saved my life
tonight. Sugar Bear. The Elton John biopic Rocket Man premieres today at the Cannes Film Festival. No relation.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that Elton hasn't seen the movie yet.
No? Ooh.
So this will be the first time he's going.
I would think he'd want to have control of some sort, like DeVito stuff.
You would kind of think that. But it turns out that no, he did not do that. And so Taron Egerton, who plays Elton John, explains why.
He hasn't seen it yet, and I'm apprehensive about him seeing it, of course, but only because it's been so much work. I have, you know, great faith in the film, and I think Dexter, our director, has done the most incredible job, and I think he'll love it. He's heard the music, and he has been incredibly positive about it. He and I are friends, and, you know, I think he knows that I'm very serious about my job. And, you know, we've assembled a really great team of filmmakers, and I think he knows that his story is in good hands.
How nervous is this guy?
He's totally.
He's like making excuses already. I'm worried now.
I think he'll really love it, I think.
Yeah. I mean, what does that mean?
Hey, I've heard him sing Elton John's song in the movie Sing, and he knocked it out of the park. So I think he'll do a great job.
Yeah, but why is he so nervous, though?
Because he really looks up to Elton John.
Okay. I get that. But why is he
nervous?
Well, I mean, the thing about this movie, this is the movie I've been waiting for since 1975, essentially. So I don't know how to wrap my brain around whether this is going to be good or bad, because I thought that the Queen thing was okay. Richard Roper hated it. Richard Roper will be here a little bit later on to talk about movies coming out. But I didn't hate it, but I just thought, okay, it's a great story. The Freddie Mercury story is an amazing story. And they didn't really, you know, they just kind of gave it a sort of a Disneyfication, if you will. And then the Elton John thing, that's a great, where they're trying to, the scope of the life that they're trying to take right here,
mm-hmm.
It's not like from stem to stern. It's like how he and Bernie Taupin met each other. They had this huge, who was his lyricist, they had this huge ride in the early 1970s and then split up because Elton went like bat bleep crazy in like 76.
Yeah.
And that was the whole, like there was like a 5-year run that was amazing. And so this is where the movie takes place, about all of those things. At least that's what we're being told.
Yeah.
And that would be really interesting stuff.
I'm sort of mad at Elton John today because if he was one of the people that vouched for Conrad Black and that President Trump specifically mentioned his character reference as part of the reason why he was moved to pardon him. It's the guy who defrauded a newspaper chain. Told the Chicago Sun-Times that there was no money for anything while he, allegedly, was taking the money for himself.
Oh, it wasn't alleged. He was convicted of it.
He was convicted of it. You're right. And they didn't have enough money to run the escalators because it was electricity bills were too high.
It's really...
But no, he's got great, great character.
Yeah. Sentenced to 7 years.
And then it was cut into half to 3.5 years.
All right.
Anyway, that's okay.
All right. So, you know what? All right.
John, for doing that.
Yeah, I hope you don't enjoy your movie. I hope you enjoy your movie tonight.
Number two.
An episode of The Family Guy takes on Sean Hannity.
Even Sean Hannity's talking about us.
He's a weird-looking guy. Put up a picture of Sean Hannity.
Can we do that?
Yeah, Tosh does it all the time. Put it up.
Yeah, he does look weird.
Yeah, who does he look like?
I'm seeing Mr. Doubtfire.
High Sodium Superman?
He looks like an angry face drawn on a thumb.
Or the mayor who won't close the beaches in Jaws.
Yeah, but either way, he's that Little League coach the parents hope their kids don't get. Trust me on this. Strip club lunch regular.
All right, that was fun.
All right. Oh, man. This is where we are in the popular media culture. And that's the Family Guy's on Fox, is it not?
Yeah.
Yes.
Makes fun of Fox all the time, too.
Yeah. And finally,
number one.
Oh my God, congratulations. We have a new brother in sound here in Chicago. Hmm. Sibling in sound.
Who's that?
Todd Stroger.
Oh, one of your favorites.
Him? He used to be the Cook County Board president because his dad was. Remember that moment?
I do. I remember his dad was sick, and we didn't get to know what condition he was in until after his son took over his job.
Mm-hmm. He'd been a state rep. He'd been an alderman. Sort of born into it. Never seemed to have the passion for it, though. Never
you
really.
Think?
Yeah. I got the sense that he really didn't want any of those jobs. But that's just, you know, it's a family business, and that's what he was going to do. But now he's going to be a morning show talk show host. And he's going to learn how easy this job really is. Although I will say that when he was the county board president,
yeah,
he did have a couple of moments of rhetorical comedy that was unintentional.
In recent years, economic experts have coined the phrase food dessert to support their concern for a lack of quality grocery shopping options for people living in poor neighborhoods. Well, I'm concerned that without Provident Hospital, and with Michael Reese and other hospitals having problems, Chicago Southside might become a hospital dessert. I should say desert. That's why I reject calls for Provident to be closed in favor of the hospital's continued focus providing an inpatient, acute, I'm going to skip that word. Testify before committees and actively lobby for a brand new law to affect...
You should pre-read these.
Thank you, Donna. Effectuate that transfer.
Smooth on the mic. That's incredible.
That man was the county board president.
Wow.
Makes Tony Preckwinkle look like George Washington. Actually, when I stopped to think about it, Tony Preckwinkle does look a little like George Washington.
Yeah.
All right.
What's wrong with dessert?
I don't know. Well, he realized that the food desert. Well, it was like food. It must be dessert. That must be that word.
Right. That goes together.
And then he gets to the hospital. Then he gets to the hospital dessert. And he's like, wait, hold on. Hospital desserts are really bad.
It's Jell-O and what, like custard and stuff?
Yeah.
Pudding?
Yeah, it's pudding.
That's all you get.
Maybe a little cake. Not even a cake. Just some square blob of white stuff that you're like, I don't know, is it sweet? I don't know what it is.
But those, it turns out, are okay. It's the food deserts.
Yes,
like.
That was where the problem is. I think it's time to close this thing up.
The top five at five.
Rocco Show with Anna DeBlantes.
Yes.
That's on 720 WGN Chicago, WGN everywhere, the WGN app, wherever you want to. On the internet, we live in places we don't even realize that we live.
The app's very easy to do, though, yeah. Too. Looking for an easy way.
And then sometimes we do the show just on the internet, and that's when the trouble starts.
Well, I was going to say we're CBD free right now, but right. Kevin did bring in his CBD gummy worms for... I guess tasting purposes?
Yep. There are no rules when we're on the web, as it turns out, even about our own behavior, because we call it radio detention.
And you think A.B. Stoddard does CBD?
I don't know. A.B. Stoddard, do you do CBD?
I think these gummy bears are a sponsor of the Bulwark podcast. I think they are the first and potentially only sponsor, if I'm not mistaken. And Charlie Sykes and I were wondering aloud before we learned what they were, what these gummy bears did. Now I know.
Did you take them?
No, I have not. I've not met them yet in person. I have not been tempted.
You have not tried the CBD gummy bear yet.
No,
we have the. What are they? What are they called?
We have sour gummy worms. Yeah,
sour gummy worms.
I mean, there's no THC, so you can't get high from them.
See, they say there's no THC. Do we know that for sure?
This very clearly says THC free, Ro, and I trust this because, as you can tell, it's professional packaging on these sour gummy worms.
I want to ask you a question.
Professional.
Kev, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How much were those?
I think they were like 15, 20 bucks, something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems pricey.
17 bucks, something
17
like that.
$17.
Like, what's a bag of gummy worms?
Yeah.
I mean, they have oils that are $150 just for a small little jar of it.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, haven't tried the CBD? You haven't gotten down that road yet, AB?
No, you know, if I get into some trouble with pain or something, I might be open-minded, but, I'm going to stick with the white wine for now.
All right, there we go. Yeah.
I like your plan.
That's kind of how we've been. That's how we roll around here. We're going to get sort of cocktail-driven, let's be honest with you. All right.
It helps blunt the pain.
And I must say that I did have a moment the last couple of weeks. I can't even turn on my television. I really can't. In the morning, I've decided I'm going to go TV free. I'm not going to engage in all of this until I have to, until I have to prep for the show. I used to just like prep every, you know, keep at least, you know, the news channels on, you know, on TVs throughout the house and just be able to watch. I don't want to do it anymore because, quite honestly, I'm afraid since the president, you know, sort of dispatched the Mueller deal. It is like it's open season on reality. And I just I don't know what to do with it. And now, and I want to ask you in a serious note because this is a legislative thing. What happened down in Alabama? You've always been considered to be, a center right conservative columnist and you know television personality thinker, right? And is that fair? Would you describe yourself as that?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't wade into abortion debates.
Right. But I mean,
but
I'm fascinated
either. By this story.
Right. I don't either. We talked about it for the first time. But I chose early in my career because, you know, my personal feelings about it are different than I think. It's a very personal issue. And so I don't feel comfortable publicly, you know, weighing in on what other people should do in this. However, this is something that I think that even Republicans, I think a lot of Republicans are shocked by this.
I think that you can begin and end with the comments of Pat Robertson, but if you wanted to venture further than that, you know, it's just obvious that people of all stripes who are pro-life, but in terms of, you know, the whole sort of running the gamut on the right, and consider themselves pro-life are saying this has gone too far and it shouldn't go to the Supreme Court. And some people are saying today it won't. And then I saw Kevin McCarthy, you know, House Minority Leader, say this is not what I believe in. I believe there should be exceptions for rape and incest. So the rebuke was pretty quick and public from the right.
Is it enough though?
I don't know. I mean, I think that these forces, the eagerness to get to the Supreme Court, you know, you see it in many, many states, and I don't think they're going to stop. But I think the people who write these laws, you know, they believe that this is appropriate, and they're on a, you know, on a mission. But the politics of abortion is different. And so at the state level, they've been very good, very shrewd about really, really restricting access to abortion. And the way you do that, as you guys know, is, you know, you overregulate so that clinics just really can no longer stay open. So right. Abortion is not illegal, but it's impossible to provide one,
right?
Pragmatically speaking, right? So I think that the pro-choice side really was asleep at the wheel as this began to happen. And, of course, you know, the people who are really deep into the issue knew it was happening. But I think a lot of people in this country are not aware at how successful pro-life the grassroots pro-life advocates have been at going state by state and doing this from the ground up. And so, you know, it was just if we're going to be told that Roe will never be overturned, this is what we're going to do, and it's been very effective. And so, the idea now with the makeup of our court is that certainly there's going to be a showdown on Roe and it could go down. And so everyone sort of woke on this issue, but on the left. But at the same time, now there's a question, I think, of concern on the right about whether or not this boomerangs brings more women out into politics at the polls, you know, and becomes problematic, particularly for them next year. So I think that they're, and I'm just talking about the politics
of this. Well, I think that's one of the things. I mean, we, Ann and I were talking about this a little bit yesterday out there, and then we talked about it for the first time on the air, and just about the legal ramifications of this. And wherever you stand on this issue, and people, you know, it's very hard to find people who don't have an opinion on this issue.
So
right?
True. So very polarizing issue.
But at the same time, the middle has been lost. I mean, that's a lot of what you're writing and your organization and all the stuff that you've been involved with the last number of years, A.B. Stoddard, has been about. It's like, what happened to the middle? Where is the middle? Where's the voice of the middle in America? And so,
right, and you're right on this issue. It's really quiet.
Yeah, the middle's gone. I mean, there's this thing in Alabama, which is under no circumstances at all, except, you know, potentially for the life of the mother, there is, or the life of the child. That you know, rape and incest and all that, you know, be damned. It's just, you know, life's a life, the integrity of the life. And then you've got these other things, you know, the heartbeat law and all the rest of those things that have started. As you're pointing out, there's been a whole movement to get these kinds of cutting it at the edges sort of way of getting to Roe versus Wade and overturning it on the merits of abortion as opposed to the merits of privacy, which is what the law of Roe v. Wade is based on. So now here we sit, and in a moment in which really the rubber is hitting the road, and will women in America who have, unlike at the start of the 20th century, did not have the right to vote, now have the right to vote? Yeah. You know, 100 years later, will they stand for, even if they, you know, are, you know, moderate or even, you know, pro-life, want this for themselves or family or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I just read the most devastating piece, and it's not in front of me, so I shouldn't be referencing it, but by a woman who's 31 and she lives in Alabama, and she was raped at 17 and gave birth to her daughter before she turned 18, that a birth that she was, you know, forced to go through with after she learned that her daughter would never, I think she lived a year, born with, you know, incredible malformations and just structural, you know, some kind of syndrome that would never, I'm not, none of us, if it doesn't roll off my tongue, it's obviously rare. But they basically said, she's not going to make it really very long. And I just read this afternoon. It was absolutely agonizing, just about how, you know, no one, man or woman, who are taking positions on this, could none of us could get inside this woman's head and her experience and what she would have done to prevent her daughter's suffering. It was so wretched.
Yeah.
And I do think that there is a very interesting strain of, like, as I said at the top, to see pro-lifers come out and say, and be glad to join in on Twitter and say no, you know, I think is really indicative of how much of a boomerang this could have. And, yeah. and if you get pro-lifers joining with pro-choicers, you know, saying there's just a point at which this is not right, I think it's but again, as you said, how much will women respond? How much will this galvanize them? Women who vote on this issue but don't get involved, maybe don't send money on this issue. You know, they're sort of, there's gradations of interest and activity, and it's just really it'll be interesting to see. We, you know, after all the mass shootings and leading to Parkland, the concert, you know, churches, really an unbelievable succession until Parkland, and we all said, wow, you know, is this going to finally galvanize gun control voters? Because only gun rights voters are galvanized and energized and motivated and activated. And really, we did see that for the first time, it wasn't in, like, game-changing numbers, but it was considerable if you added to the coalition of that helped the Democrats win in the midterms in certain states, like Florida, it certainly was material. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 6, 9 months, 18 months with this. But it'll have to do, obviously, with where it goes up the food chain and the courts.
Okay, I will just leave you with this question. You don't have to answer this publicly, A.B. Stoddard. I just want you to answer this question in your mind. Do you think, under the president's new points immigration system, that Melania Trump would have gotten into the United States? That's it. I just want you to think about that.
He goes, they come here to connect with a family member. Like, he was, like, talking about it like it was crazy. In his really interesting and surreal, otherwise super subdued speech that someone else wrote that he was forced to give about how humane we want to be and how much we want to open our arms to these deserving immigrants who are going to come here. And, I mean, it was, you know, we've obviously never heard him talk the way he spoke today. So it was fascinating on so many levels for a bill that no one anywhere around him in the White House or the party or the Congress
Has any interest in.
To ever have to worry about voting on a committee or on the floor.
Right.
It's never going anywhere. But I do think it was written by Melania's people. I think is what it was. That's the sense that I got. Right. Sort of like, because I think maybe the Knauss family is a little mad about this whole thing. And they're like, you know, all right, you're going to get up. You're going to read speech right now because my mother very mad at you.
For the last time.
Yes. All right. Thank you, A.B.
Migrants.
Thanks, A.B.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, A.B. Stoddard. RealClearPolitics.com. All right. Let's check now with Kim Gordon, WGNRadio.com. What's going on in the newsroom at the top?
Roe, in the wake of the college admissions scandal, changes coming to the SAT.
Mr. Richard Roper is in the studio, brought to us by Arkadeck.
Hey, Rich.
Of Chicagoland.com are my people. Yes. Wait, hold on. Hold on, Rich.
Hey, we can't hear Rich.
Hello.
There he is.
Oh, my God. We have movies galore here. John Wick the Third.
Yes. John Wick the Third. That's what I'm going to name my youngest one day.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
A new Johnny Depp movie.
I'm very excited to talk to
all of
you guys about this Johnny Depp movie. And it's it's like 90s matinee idol week with Keanu Reeves and Johnny Depp having movies.
Well, you want to start with John Wick 3 because it's going to be the big winner.
John Wick Chapter 3, Parabellum. First of all, for people wondering, why are they calling it Parabellum? Because they just like to do stuff like this. So Parabellum could mean like basically getting ready for war, but it's also a type of gun. So that's, you know, in this case, I think it's more about getting all the guns. So John Wick is the professional assassin who in the first movie was retired and his wife had just died of cancer and left him a beagle puppy. Oh. And then some Russian thugs stole his car and beat him up and killed the puppy. Which is a $500 million profit for these movie franchises ever since then, because people couldn't believe they killed John Wick's puppy. So to this day now, so he's in the first movie went out for revenge, and you know, like the Russian thugs kept saying, it was only a puppy. And every time he says that, everyone cheers from kill. You can't say that. It's only a puppy. So then in chapter two, more revenge, and now John Wick chapter three. First of all, he's got a new dog, which is nice to see. It's very good.
Is it a beagle?
No, not a beagle. I don't want to give away too much. And then Halle Berry plays a colleague of his who's also in the assassin game. Ooh. And she has two dogs who are the best dogs in the history of movies. What they do to the bad guys is just they're the best stunt dogs. They're twins. They're just fantastic. So the setup again, once now, John Wick, in John Wick 2, he had violated the rules of the killer's code. You know, they have all these kind of a secret society, and he had killed somebody within the sanctum of the special hotel where you can't do that. So now there's a hit worldwide for $14 million on John Wick. So he's on the run trying to survive. So he goes to his old pal, Halle Berry, because he needs her help.
You do realize that I'm management now, right? I'm not service anymore, John, so I don't go around shooting people in the head.
I'm not asking you to kill anyone. I just need you to get me to him.
To who?
Your old boss.
You want to kill Baratta?
I'm not going to kill him. I just need to talk.
What could he possibly give to you?
Guidance.
I made a deal when I agreed to run this hotel, and that deal said that I had to follow the rules of the table. If you're not going to kill him, he is going to kill you. And then probably me, too, for walking you up in there.
That's the most dialogue in the whole movie. And they look both of those. By the way, Halle Berry and Keanu Reeves, both in their mid-50s, look exactly like they did in the 90s, right? I mean, they're amazing-looking people. And they're really good together. And then you've got Asia Kate Dillon from The Billions show. She plays Taylor Mason. She's in this.
Dillon? Sort of, is she a Matt?
No, she's not related to any of the Asian. So we have to refer to Asia Kate Dillon as they in real life because she doesn't like she. I just said she. I'm not supposed to say that. So I'm just going to keep saying Asia Kate Dillon is really good here. So the basic premise here is there's this whole underworld of assassins and hired killers, and they have rules among themselves, and if you break them, now you have to go underground. You're on your own, which is really just an excuse for some of the most amazing and best choreography I've ever seen in fight sequences, whether it's shootouts, martial arts, hand-to-hand stuff. And, you know, Keanu Reeves has been doing that kind of stuff. You know, Matrix was 20 years ago, so he's always been, you know, playing this guy who wears a black suit and sunglasses and is really good at fighting all of a sudden when he needs to be. I love these franchises. They're like the Bourne franchises without all the amnesia and the kind of, you know, Illuminati. It's just, look, here's the action. Let's go with it. They got a great sense of humor about themselves. So 3.5 stars for John Wick 3, Chapter 3, which, by the way, you can see they're going to keep making these for a long time.
Wow.
Okay, so the thing about Keanu Reeves, he's out promoting this.
Yes.
He's been on a bunch of talk shows. He's fascinating.
Yes,
you know,
he is.
He's become he's a grand old man of Hollywood. He's not Tom Cruise, right? So if you want to just sort of, you know, do that comparison, he's not exactly the biggest star of his generation.
Right, he's not like Brad Pitt or something like that either. Like that sexy leading man.
But you know, yeah, but he, you know, he resisted that. He's a guy, you know, when you talk to him, and I've talked to him a few times over the years, he's not at the Harrison Ford level, but he's not an easy interview. And it's not because he's a difficult person. He's just kind of a quiet, you know, introspective guy. He never really embraced, you know, he could, you know, we're going all the way back to Point Break and Bill and Ted. He could have been the biggest star in the world. He turned down a lot of stuff. He just would do things. Even the Matrix movies, people were like, what are these now all about? You know, he's always found things to be interesting. And then he'll go off and do other things. He's very much into all kinds of other lifestyles and exploring and stuff and music and just doing his own thing. And one of the things I love about him is he's wearing the suit from John Wick Chapter 3 to all of the premieres and talk shows he's doing. The exact suit. It's not just great. One that looks like it. And I'm like, I don't know if he just walked up and said, can I take one of these for like the movie promotion? And it, you know, it's just that's the kind of stuff he does. The exact same haircut, the exact same hairstyle, but the black suit, the black tie, the black shirt, the black boots from the movie he's wearing in all his promo stuff. So I think he's having a lot of fun. Definitely a huge career resurgence. He's making a lot of money with these.
Yeah.
But then, you know, he'll do four or five of these, and then he'll just disappear again. You won't see, you won't hear from him.
It's right. There are long periods of time when you're just like, oh, okay, maybe he's not really going to do any more movies. He's kind of out of the business. And then, and boom, he comes back with something big like this. Do you think it could beat Avengers this weekend? Is it getting that?
Yeah, I think this might is the fourth week for Avengers Endgame, so I think it's probably around time, because I think this will probably do. It's R, you know, it's a hard R. It has, you know, a certain appeal to a certain audience. It's not going to do 50 million. It could do 35, mm-hmm. you know, but it'll do a lot and a lot worldwide.
If Sean Penn and Tom Cruise had a love child, it would be Keanu Reeves. Because he's kind of halfway in between those two.
Yes.
Yeah, because he's got some method. You know, and Keanu Reeves will also be the first to tell you he doesn't have the range of some of the other actors of his generation. He plays a certain type of character. He can be very funny. I mean, look at the Bill and Ted movies. Yeah.
That's range.
And he's coming back with a Bill and Ted,
right? Yeah, that's right. That's right. So he's also, I think, at a point to where I think he's enjoying the ride this time around more than he was when he was 25 years old, which happens with a lot of these guys.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, there was a lot of crap written about him when he was 25 years old because he was mysterious. Mm-hmm. He came from a show business family, but a behind-the-scenes show business family.
Yeah.
His mom was, I think, a costume designer or something like that.
Yeah, and he's Hawaiian. People would say, is he Asian? Is he Japanese? And then it was like, what are his sexual orientation? Because he's been in relationships but never has been married. And he was one of those early on that say, I'm not going to dignify rumors by denying things like that.
Yeah, right. Good for him.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about, after the break,
okay,
the new Johnny Depp film.
Cannot wait.
You're going to love it. I believe Rome might have done some of the dubbing for Johnny Depp.
I did. They called me and they said, hey, Johnny is back in France. He can't do, we do need to do some of the looping here. Can you come in to the studio and do some of his dialogue? Wait till you hear Johnny Depp doing me doing Johnny Depp.
Yep, that's what it is.
In this film. Stand by. Here we go. Kim Gordon, what's coming up at the bottom?
Roe, don't throw away your shot to see Hamilton in Chicago. The date for the final curtain announced today.
All right, here we go. Richard Roper is here. Brought
I might
to us
have
by
something to say.
Architect. Oh, yeah, you do.
What do you have to say for yourself?
I'm so sorry. It's stuck to another page. So just give me one moment here. I need one of those things they have at the post office, those little things you put on your finger.
My daughter's puppy here.
I can't get it.
He has a humping problem.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Only a problem for other people.
I believe that...
Here, let's try this one.
Yes.
This week, Chicago's Best is the market for food from around the world. Marley and Elliot grab lunch and load up their shopping bags. Chicago's Best Markets is what they're checking out Sunday night at 10 on WGN.
All right, here's what we're checking out. The new Johnny Depp film. Richard Roper, what is it?
It's called The Professor. So Johnny Depp plays a professor at a New England college. He teaches literature, very gifted, but you know what you might expect. Likes the drink, likes the ladies. Mm-hmm. Likes the sound of his own voice, finds out that he has stage 4 cancer and basically has 6 months to live if he neglects to have any treatment, which he decides not to do. He's just going to live out the last 6 months of his life doing things he wants to do. So it's all about the professor, you know, trying to mend some fences, letting people know what he feels about him, but basically being the ass he was even before he found out that he had cancer. So here's a little bit of Johnny Depp as the title character in The Professor.
From here on out, we're going to do things very, very differently. So for those of you who are not even remotely interested in being here, please leave. Just simply walk out the door, and you'll receive an automatic seat. I no longer have time to be wasted.
Nor do I intend on wasting yours. So, for those of you who receive grades of, say, a C or worse, let's just be proactive. Back up your and vamoose now.
He still has that European accent. Is he playing a European professor?
You don't. No, he's not.
The problem is that I don't understand who I am at all anymore.
I watched this movie for an hour and 45 minutes and couldn't get Rose's voice out of my head.
That's a problem for me, too.
And I feel like Johnny Depp at some point must have heard the broadcast or on the stream and decided, I do talk like that. So now he's doing Rose doing him.
Let us not worry about your futures. If you don't see her, see minors, let's just pack up your crap and get out of here.
That's exactly it. So even when he's not drunk in the scenes here, but that was a scene where he's telling us all of his literature students, basically, get out of. If you're just trying to get an English class out of the way as one of your general studies, and get out, I'll give you a C. And he just treats everybody like that, and that's a big problem with the movie, where you're supposed to, you should never be rooting for the guy who has cancer to probably die because people would be better off without him in their life. That's a problem with this
problem. Except in a Johnny Depp movie, you might actually do that.
So he's very enjoyable because even though he's just playing a modern professor, he still pulls out all the tweeds and the bow ties, and he's got crazy hairstyle and goatee and all that stuff. But it's kind of an atrocious film because it's really just about him being blunt and mistaking that for charm, and the movie also mistaking that for charm. So the professor, I will switch from stars and give him a D- here, which would be about 1.5 stars.
All I had to do was show up in this film, and I would have gotten a C from the original
paycheck.
Why it is that you would do something like that to me, and I've got very little time to live. And quite honestly, I'm still much trying to get over Amber Heard, that shrew.
Oh, gosh. Here we go with the women. Yeah, there's also some things his character says about women here that are not good timing for Johnny Depp.
No.
As a professor, when he says, he basically gives, I don't want to hear about anybody who's a feminist, anybody who, isn't attractive. It's not a good look for
him.
He's
one of those actors I have a hard time now separating from the person in the movie.
And there's also a scene in this movie. Everybody's been talking about the coffee cup in the Game of Thrones a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
In this movie, Johnny Depp starts a toast with a glass of red wine. They switch back to him. It's an empty glass. And then he finishes with a glass of champagne, even though he never moves from where he's standing.
Oh,
there's your continuity right there.
Quite honestly, I could do that trick standing on my head.
All right, we've got Kim Gordon's with the WGN News and then White Sox baseball. Jimmy's